Hello, I'm Tom Moan, and today I'm beginning an old and yet continuing adventure. In 1968, my family and I returned to Tulsa, where I became the general manager of KORU-FM and Oral Roberts, radio announcer. At that time, from 1968 until March of 71, I had a daily program entitled Good Morning, Brother Pilgrim. And now, after 50 years, I'm resurrecting it with a new title, Good Morning, Fellow Pilgrim. And a pilgrim is a person who's on a journey, and in this case, a journey of the kingdom of God on earth as Jesus prayed. So I hope you'll join me as we look into the past, the present, and the future.
This is the Good Morning, Fellow Pilgrim podcast with Tom Moan for April 1st, 2019.
Well, good morning, fellow pilgrims. It's a delight to be with you again. And I hope that you've been able to kind of follow along as we've talked about the salvific work of Almighty God from the fall in the Garden of Eden through some Old Testament pictures into the New Testament. And last week we kind of talked about the days of Pentecost and how Peter, in the beginning, really wasn't quite waiting enough until God poured out the Spirit. And when he did, Peter was a changed man. Well, I want to go back and look at something that I think we need to constantly remember as Christians. In the book of Exodus, you might recall when God is leading the people out of bondage in Egypt, and there are Aaron and Moses are being led by the Spirit of God, and then there's all of the plagues that come upon Egypt. The waters turn to blood, frogs cover the land, the plague of locusts, Egyptian cattle die, and the plague of the boils and locusts and hail. But I want to read the last plague in Exodus chapter 11, and I'm going to read it pretty much in its entirety. I want to talk about one thing particularly today, and it's Calvary. The reason I want to do this is that it is my contention that Calvary is the centerpiece of all of human and cosmic history. Everything up till Calvary and from after Calvary goes back to Calvary, that God's salvific work was done so magnificently at Calvary. But I want us to look at something together today, if we can. So I'm going to pick it up in the 11th chapter of the book of Exodus. And, the 12th chapter, beginning in verse 1. Now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, they are each one to take a lamb for themselves, according to their father's household, a lamb for each household. Now if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his neighbor nearest to his house are to take one according to the number of persons in them, and according to what each man should eat, you are to divide the lamb. Your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old, and you may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. And they shall eat the flesh that same night, roasted with fire, and they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled at all with water, but rather roasted with fire, both its head and its legs along with its entrails. And you shall not leave any of it over until morning, but whatever is left of it until morning you shall burn with fire. Now you shall eat it in this manner. with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against of all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Now that's the first 13 verses of Exodus chapter 12. Now what I'm doing in reading this is that I want you to see something. Passover, when he saw the blood. So there was a Passover lamb, and when they saw the blood, it's my contention, if there had been some Egyptians in the houses with the Jews, they too would have been passed over, because the angel of death was looking for one thing, and that's the blood. Now, I want to run into the New Testament, and in the New Testament, Jesus wants to celebrate the Passover. You know the story. And I want to begin to read in the Gospel of Matthew about Jesus and celebrating of the Passover. We already know about the plot to kill Jesus, and it had been going on for several years, and Judas's betrayal. So I want to pick it up in verse 20 now of Matthew chapter 26. 26:20 of Matthew. Now when evening came, he was reclining at the table with the 12 disciples. And as they were eating, he said, "Truly I say to you that one of you will betray me." And being deeply grieved, they each one began to say to him, "Surely not I, Lord." But he answered and said, "He who dipped his hand with me in the bowl is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man is to go, just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he'd not been born." And Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." And he said to him, "You have said it yourselves." Now before these several verses, Jesus had sent him into town and told him to go to a particular place because he wanted to keep the Passover with his disciples. And I just read in Exodus chapter 12 what the Passover initially was. Now I'm going to pick it up again in 26th verse of Matthew 26. And while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. But after I am raised, I will go before you to Galilee." But Peter answered and said to him, "Even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, that this very night, before a cock crows, you shall deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same thing. Now here's the portion that I've been before, and I want to go slowly through it. Now remember, Jesus and his disciples have gathered to celebrate the old Passover. When they saw the blood, the angel of death, they passed over those houses, and the only one who lost their firstborn were those of Egypt, not the people of God of Israel. Verse 36 now, Matthew. Then Jesus came to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as thou wilt." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "So you men could not keep watch with me for an hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak." And he went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, thy will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Then he came to the disciples and said, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. And let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand." Now in the Gospel of Luke, one other thing is added, and that's that he began to be so grieved and so in anguish that the capillaries in his body began to leak blood, and he bled. Three times he prays, and his prayer is very simple. "Father, please, isn't there some other way?" And I would like to suggest that as we go over this, this is what is so pivotal in Calvary and the history of Calvary, and why it's so important for you and I as Christians to understand the grieving that Jesus is going. Three times he prays. It is my perception that he looked into that cup that the Father asked him, and he saw two things in that cup. He saw, one, his own blood, and secondly, the sin of the world. Capital S, capital I, capital N. The sin of the world. And he saw them mixed. And he knew that if he drank the cup, he would become the greatest sinner the world would ever know. Three times he falls before his Father and says, "Father, isn't there another way?" Because Jesus begins to realize that that Passover he was celebrating with his disciples, he is the Passover lamb, the last Passover lamb there will ever, ever be. I'm reading now from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to pick it up in verse 16. "Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh. Even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." Now, I'm going to read on in just a moment, but I want to reemphasize this. All these things, we are reconciled through Christ. Christ becomes the last Passover lamb. I want us to see this. He becomes sin incarnate. There is no easy way to deal with that sin from the garden. It's going to cause the death of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Now, the thing about it that's so vital to me and I do not understand it. It is a great mystery. God said that he would not look upon sin, and his son becomes sin incarnate in drinking that cup out of his obedience to the will of the Father. Now, the thing that I want to say is that in that obedience, there is somehow, some way that I do not understand, it remains a mystery, a breach where God the Father turns his back on his son as the judgment takes place at Calvary. And Jesus, I believe, descends into hell, carrying the sin of the world upon himself. And in hell itself, the hellfires, the only thing they can burn away is sin. They cannot touch him, for he is sinless. And he has been absolutely faithful to the call of God, his Father. Now I'm going to read on again in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 again. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he's committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God. This is the center of human history, Calvary, Jesus, the Christ of God, answers the dilemma that began in Eden. Dear brothers and sisters, I pray that we never take Calvary, communion, and the shed blood of Jesus Christ lightly, that when we sit and take the bread, his body, and drink the cup of his blood, that we allow the Holy Spirit to enable us to come in touch with the last Passover lamb. No other one will ever need to happen again. But Jesus has done it all. He who knew no sin became sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Father God, I want to ask in the name of Jesus that you will just breathe upon us all who are benefactors of the last Passover lamb, Jesus the Christ, whose blood was shed on our behalf, through whom we are reconciled to God. Thank you, Jesus. We worship, we bless you, and we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. Holy Spirit, I pray that we will ever be tender to Calvary and all that our dear Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
This podcast is available for free download in iTunes and at moanministriesbookstore.com. Sarah Rahm's album, Days of Rain, is available on iTunes and most streaming platforms.